You are listening to the sermon podcast of Covenant Presbyterian Church. We are a community in Madison, Wisconsin, who gathers to worship, to learn, to serve, and to grow together in God's love. Please visit us online at www.covenantmadison.org, where you can find information about Covenant Ministries, as well as links to our online worship services and sermon podcasts.
At your next annual physical, what would you think if your doctor asked you, how are you doing with screen time? Are you making good decisions with your mobile devices, with your computer, with your television screen? Are you happy with the amount of screen time in your life? Does it feel good to you? At my annual physical last year, my doctor did not ask those questions, but I think if she did, I would have appreciated the conversation. Because as we all know, and as we like to pretend we don't know, excessive screen time is problematic for our health. It's problematic for our mental health in terms of making us more distracted. It's problematic for our social health in terms of disconnecting us from people. It's problematic for the ways we process information and think. It's problematic for our attention span. Some people are even having problems with their thumbs or with their backs or with their eyes. There are physical problems associated with too much screen time. And you can read about all of these different problems, ironically, by going to your screen and Googling problems associated with excessive screen time. A lot of us struggle with screen time in various forms. According to a Fortune magazine article, which I found on a screen, the average American 2 years ago spent over 4 hours a day on their mobile device. And they picked up that mobile device over 144 times. I realized, as I was thinking about it this week, a couple times I picked up my phone to check my settings to see how many times I had picked up my phone that day, not realizing that that would be another pickup. But there's all sorts of irony here. And then in another study, according to that Nielsen study from 2 years ago, the average American spends 11 hours a day in front of screens. That includes TVs and all sorts of things. And yes, like I said in the welcome to announcements, I know people are watching this worship service on screen, but as I hope to make clear, there is good use of screens and there's not so good use of screens. And we need to figure out how to make that work good. When I think about that figure for 11 hours of screen time, it makes me wonder, are there people, or do I wake up in the morning and say, hey, it's a beautiful day. God has blessed me with another day of life, so I'm going to use my time wisely and well. I'm going to spend 3 or 4 hours watching a show that I've already watched and enjoying the reruns. I'm going to spend a couple hours on Facebook and Instagram. I'm going to spend a couple hours doom scrolling because I have to check the news and make sure I know what's going on in the world. And then to relax at the end of the day, I'll spend an hour or two watching those puppy videos just to make me smile and feel good. I mean, does anybody really plan their day like that and plan to use 10, 12, or more hours in front of a screen? I'm thinking probably not, but I also know for me and for others, it's so easy to have intentions and then let those intentions get pulled away and we get easily distracted and the lure is so strong. We just get sucked into the vortex of screens very, very easily. Some of us are old enough to remember the good old days when you watched a movie, and when the movie was over, the movie was over. But now, on streaming services, you watch a movie, and within 5 seconds, here's another movie. So you don't even have to get up off the couch, and another movie starts, and you can just keep going. The same thing with YouTube videos. You watch one video because somebody said, watch this video, and they suggest another one, and it keeps going and going and going, making it really easy to get sucked right into those into our screens. You know, I've had this smartphone of mine for, well, different versions of it, but I've had a smartphone for over 8 years now. And as I was thinking about it this past week, I came to the conclusion that I don't think my smartphone has made me any smarter, right? hasn't done its job, maybe, or maybe I haven't done a good job with it, because it probably has made me more easily distracted in life. It's probably made me a little more discontent with life as I look at all these glamorized images of other people and other things. And it's possibly made me more detached from the people around me. So I think I need to be smarter with my smartphone. I think we all need to be smart with our phones, with our screens, with our devices. And I want to make it clear that I'm not anti-technology. Not at all. Technology has many, many wonderful uses, like people worshiping with us online. Hello, people online. We're glad you're here with us today. I use screens for work, connecting with people through email and other ways. I have Zoom conversations, important Zoom conversations with people all the time. My calendar is online. I read the New York Times and Madison.com and lots of other news sources online. Facebook and Instagram are good sources of connection and enjoyment, amusement at times. And I like playing Freecell. I like doing Wordle every day. I'll be glad to talk about that with anybody. And like a lot of people, I like watching sports. I like watching movies. You know, there's a lot of good uses of screen time. And I'm convinced even that God can speak to us through our screen usage when we're awake and alert to it, but not when we get sucked into that rabbit hole of just brainlessly scrolling and watching. The challenge for me and for a lot of us is turning off the screens or turning away from the screens at the appropriate time, whatever that time might be. Sometimes I intend to take a quick break, a 3-minute break to play a game of Freecell or check a sports score, and then all of a sudden I look up and it's 10, 20, 30 minutes later. I'm like, what happened? What happened to the time? It makes me cry too. It's just it's a sad thing, right? A NPR correspondent named Manoush Zomorodi wrote a book several years ago called Bored and Brilliant, How Spacing Out Can Unlock Your Most Productive and Creative Self. And she makes a strong case for how being screen-free is good for us in terms of being more productive and more creative in the spirit of kind of letting the soil rest so new things can grow in it. Since reading that book last year or 2 years ago, I've been more aware of how wonderful it is to go for a walk with no earbuds and just look around and listen. Or to drive in my car and not turn on the radio or a podcast or whatever. Or to just stand in the shower and listen to the sound of the water. And I get sort of inspired and energized in ways that I probably wouldn't if I was constantly barraged with noise and visuals. So in her book, she makes a strong case for this, but she is not anti-tech either. She concludes the book by saying, Bored and Brilliant is about living smarter and better within a digital world. Technology isn't going anywhere, and who would want it to? I love that I have an app on my phone, she says, that can tell me exactly the exact subway car I need to be on to get out of the station quickest. What I'm advocating is balancing the way we use technology and making sure, as best we can, that our gadgets align with what we hold dear and true. So maybe that's the question the doctor should ask us. Do your gadgets align with what you hold to be dear and true? Maybe that's the question we need to ask ourselves. We need balance. We need health. Screen and technology are wonderful blessings, but become really problematic when overused. Think about ice cream. A scoop or two of ice cream is fantastic. A gallon or two of ice cream is probably not so fantastic, right? A recent Pew Research Center study reflected how teenagers recognize the sort of the ambiguity of screens, that they're good and they're not good at the same time. And in this study, teenagers were asked, how do you feel when you don't have your phones? And there were all sorts of emotions. And the ones that stood out in the survey, 72% said they felt peaceful when they didn't have their phones, and 44% said they felt anxious. So some of you math geeks in the room are realizing that there's some overlap, that there are people, teenagers, who felt both peaceful and anxious at the same time when they didn't have their phones. They recognize that the phone can be a great source of blessing and connection and meaning, and at the same time, a source of stress and hurt and fear and anxiety. So we need to be really smart about how we use our technology. We're conflicted. We're confused. We're struggling with our screens. And an interesting side note for you parents and grandparents out there, 46% of the teenagers in this survey said that they felt like their parents were often distracted when the parents were talking to the teenagers. The parents were distracted by their phones. I remember when cell phones first came out, all we parents were upset and worried that the kids were going to be so distracted. Well, look what's happened, right? We parents and grandparents, we're getting distracted too. So we need to be smart. We need to be purposeful about our screens. Now, our gospel reading for today that you got a little preview of with the children's time, I think it helps us to think about how to approach our screens wisely and well, the importance of unplugging in a non-electronic kind of way. The reading is one of several biblical accounts of Jesus recognizing that Jesus himself needed some time away, needed to unplug, if you will, from the busyness of his life. 2 weeks ago when we were talking, whoops, the screen just went out. Did I do that? There we go. 2 weeks ago, isn't that ironic? The screen went out in the middle of the, how about that? Maybe that's a sign. Well, anyway, 2 weeks ago we were talking about listening. And this was the scripture reading, talking about how Jesus went out to pray, to have some quiet time by himself, and the disciples hunted him down. Jesus wanted that time alone, and he couldn't get it. There were important things to do. Okay, so fast forward a few chapters to Mark chapter 6, and the disciples have been working with Jesus. He's been empowering them and sending them out to do teaching and preaching and healing like he had begun. And Jesus recognizes that the disciples need some time away. So he pulls them all aside, and let's listen to see what happens with that. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told them all that they had done and taught. Jesus said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest for a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in a boat to a deserted place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, so they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Thanks be to God for the words of Scripture. From both of these readings, in Mark 1 and in Mark 6, we get the sense that time away, a time for prayer, for quiet, for unplugging, is really important. And at the same time, it's hard to do, right? Jesus tried to get away, Jesus and the disciples tried to get away, and the people, the need was great. So they really had to work at that to find some time, some quiet time to recharge and refresh. Over the past 4 weeks, and today's the fifth week, we've been focusing on these five spiritual disciplines, these five practices of the Christian life during this season of Lent: fasting, praying, listening, simplifying, and today we're looking at unplugging. And it's part of a series from the Presbyterian Church. Some of you have been in our Sunday school class. Some of you have been here on Wednesday nights. We've been talking about these different practices, these different disciplines. And the curriculum is excellent. And there's actually a wonderful definition of, or understanding of, unplugging that I'd like to share with you. Whoops. Let me get it. There we go. Unplugging helps us connect with God, because we remove what is distracting us, such as screens and earphones. Unplugging makes space in our lives for God to transform us, because we're more able to pay attention to what's happening in our lives. We're more able to see where God is leading us through the events and relationships of daily life. I love that imagery, and the idea of unplugging is rooted in the idea of Sabbath keeping, an ancient part of the Judeo-Christian tradition. A foundational principle found in the second chapter of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 2. After God creates the entire world and all the creatures and all the beautiful things, God rested. God took the very first Sabbath. It's a rather fascinating concept when you think about it, that the God of the universe, the God who created everything, needed some time and took some time to rest, right? Sometimes I think we miss the profound nature of that, that God rested. So as we're thinking about unplugging, it leads us to think about Sabbath. And I want to share three Sabbath principles with you that come from the Scripture. The first one comes from the Ten Commandments. As you may know, the Ten Commandments show up twice in our Bible. The first time they show up is in Exodus chapter 20, and all Ten Commandments are listed there. And the Sabbath commandment is the fourth one. And in Exodus, there's one particular explanation or reason given for why keeping the Sabbath is important. And it makes it clear that you shall not do any work, you or your family or your slave, your livestock. In 6 days, God made the heaven and earth, but God rested. So it's that Genesis language. God rested, so we should rest. So that's important. God's example for us. Now, the second version of the Ten Commandments appears in a different book of the Bible. Anybody know what book that is? Say it with me, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 5. And in Deuteronomy chapter 5, the same commandments, worded slightly differently, but there's a really interesting distinction with the explanation that's given for why we want to keep the Sabbath in Deuteronomy versus Exodus. And in Deuteronomy, we read about slavery. So that all your male and female slaves may rest as well as you. Remember, you were a slave. So there's sort of an implication here. You were a slave, but now you're free, so you should not be a slave to anything. You should be able to rest. Your slaves should be able to rest. Your servants should be able to rest. Everyone should have some sense of rest here. And that's important for why we want to keep the Sabbath. So God rested. That's why we keep Sabbath. Freedom is important. Freedom from Pharaoh, freedom from our devices, freedom from anything. That's another reason to unplug and keep Sabbath. And then the third reason, a third sabbatical principle, if you will, comes from the Gospels. Several times Jesus had conflict with the religious authorities of the day because by that time there were a lot of very strict regulations about the Sabbath and saying you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this. And Jesus recognized in this example where there's a man with a withered hand who was healed by Jesus on the Sabbath that sometimes you have to maybe bend the rules, that sometimes you have to think outside the box a little bit and be life-giving and not obsessed with the rules. So please don't leave here today saying that you think I'm saying never use your screens or anything like that. No, this shows how Jesus was trying to be smart with the rules and know there's a time and a place for them, and interpret them when and where he felt it was appropriate. So we need to be smart about these things. Taken together, these three biblical principles remind us that rest is important, so we need to unplug. They remind us that we shouldn't be slaves to Pharaoh, we shouldn't be slaves to our screens. And we need to have flexibility and common sense with our unplugging because sometimes screens are necessary and good and sometimes not so much. Over the 5 weeks of this series, when we focused on all these different disciplines, fasting, praying, listening, simplifying, and unplugging, we pastors have tried to provide suggestions for you how to implement these practices, how to make them part of your life so that you can connect with God. If you read your weekly email that you received and got to see on a screen this week, in that weekly email, I offered three suggestions for ways that we could unplug. I wrote a little bit more about them than you see on the screen here right now, but one option, suggestion for unplugging is to develop a habit that has nothing to do with the screen. You know, reading a book, playing a musical instrument, you know, whatever, knitting, whatever might work for you. A second suggestion is to avoid screens first thing in the morning and late at night. Help us start the day well and help us to wind down the day well. And then third, to make some time for a few minutes of doing nothing, as Manush Zomorodi and others might say, of just sitting and relaxing and looking around and say, hey, look, there's a brick wall over there. Those bricks are pretty neat. How about that? Right? Well, today, I thought I would add one more suggestion for you in terms of how to think about unplugging. And you can adapt it how you see fit. And that suggestion is do the one thing and be done. What I mean by that is I know sometimes I get a notification on my phone. The volume is off, but I feel that little buzz in my pocket sometimes. And I'm like, oh, I got a text message. I open up my phone and I look at the text message, do the one thing and be done. Do I put my phone away as soon as I read the text message? Usually not. I'm like, oh, there's some other lights and blinkies and things to look at here, so I better check that. No, I better check the sports scores and go Badgers, and I better check the weather, and I better check how many times I've checked my phone today to make sure I'm not doing it too much, and all those sorts of things, right? Do the one thing and be done. I've been trying this past week, you know, when I realized I need to check an email or I need to look at an article about unplugging, to pick up my phone, to do the one thing and to put my phone down, and it's really hard. My brain has been rewired from 8 years of having a smartphone to just boom, boom, boom. I don't know if it's the dopamine, the algorithms, what it is, but it's really hard to break those habits with our screens. But I think it's really important so that we can open up a new reality. So do the one thing and be done. Let's say that together. Do the one thing and be done. Good luck. I hope you do better than I've done. Remember, the point of unplugging and the point of doing one thing and being done, it's not because technology is bad, and it's not because we don't want to have fun and enjoy life, and because there's lots of great things to do with our screens. The purpose of this discipline, this practice, and all the other ones is to really just clear the clutter out of the way, to get the junk out of the way so that we can connect more deeply with God and God's love and God's people and God's world. In John's gospel, Jesus was speaking with his disciples. And in chapter 10, he was speaking about his disciples. And he said, I came that they might have life in all its fullness. Other translations say, I came that they might have abundant life. If we have our noses in our screens 10, 12, 23 hours a day, we're going to miss the abundant life. We're going to miss the people around us, the beauty of each day. We'll miss out on God. So thanks be to God who continues to love us, to call us, to forgive us, to renew us, and to give us new strength and new wisdom to follow in the path towards a purposeful life and towards abundant and eternal life. Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for the gift of today. Thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for the gift of life. Thank you that we're here, that we're alive, that we're breathing. Thank you that you've given us eyes to see and ears to hear and lives to live. Thank you for sending Jesus to call us, to claim us, to invite us to hear the good news and to repent, to turn around, to change our minds and to find new purpose, new clarity, new direction in our lives. Thank you for this season of Lent, when we can be extra intentional about following in the path and getting back on track if we've wandered away. Thank you that you never give up on us. Thank you that we're on this journey together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.